There are many creative ways to use lease options. Three common methods include the following. First, lease optioning a personal residence. Second, to lease option a property with the intent to sublease to another person with a purchase option. We call that a sandwich lease. And third, lease optioning a property requiring modest rehabilitation, sell to an end user, or keep as a rental. Let me talk about each one. First, purchasing a personal residence. The following is a real-life example with actual numbers of a lease option from one of my students that extended over a 5-year period. Needless to say, the lease purchase option agreement was entered into several years ago, but the principles and economics of the transaction are very, very applicable today. The buyer, my student, owned a house worth roughly $100,000, which was typical of the home values in most of the surrounding neighborhoods and towns. There were a fair number of rental houses in the area, most of them rented in the $500 to $700 range. Seeking to find a substantially nicer home, the buyer, my student, sought out a nearby upscale town where the home values exceeded $200,000. Rentals in this upscale area were very scarce. The buyer found a lovely home for sale for $220,000, and it appeared that it was reasonably priced. The seller was very anxious to sell and that he already had moved out of state, and the home had been on the market for several months. My student proposed a lease option, and they ended up agreeing to a 4-year option at an asking price of $220,000. The monthly rent was $900, which was low for this particular house, but really high in comparison to almost all other rentals in the surrounding areas. And the buyer received a 50% rent credit, which is $450 per month, toward the eventual purchase. The seller agreed to pay taxes and insurance during the option period, and the buyer, my student, agreed to pay for all of the maintenance. And an inspection revealed that the house was in very good shape. The buyer put down $3,600 as a non-refundable deposit for the option consideration, which was to apply to the option price. And that's the equivalent of less than 2% of the option price. As the years went by, the buyer was delighted with his fine new home and was equally delighted with the affordability of the new home. He was paying an equivalent monthly payment of $450, one half of $900, remember he got a credit for the other $450, compared to the previous monthly payments of $840 for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, commonly called PITI, on his previous home that you'll recall was worth less than half of his new home. My student, now the buyer, was amazed when he figured out the effective interest rate that he was paying. He realized that of the $900 a month that he was paying, only $450 of that was not going toward the purchase price. And from that, he subtracted the cost of taxes and insurance, which were $340 per month, and that, by the way, is certainly an amount he would have to have paid had he owned the property, to yield a net cost or a net rental of $110 a month. This worked out to an incredible effective interest rate of 0.6%. $110 per month times 12 months equals $1,320 divided by $220,000 is less than 1%. After 3 years, the buyer was certain that he was going to exercise his option at the end of the 4-year period because, among other things, property values had been increasing very nicely in the area, as a matter of fact, about 7% a year. But he figured it was worth the effort to see if the seller would be willing to extend the option in exchange for some additional consideration. The buyer and seller ended up agreeing to extend the option for one additional year in return for a payment of $10,000. This additional option consideration would be applied to the purchase price, but it would be forfeited if the buyer did not buy the house. Was this a good move? I think so. Even if it cost the buyer 10% interest to borrow the $10,000 for a year, or $1,000, that was a small price to pay for another year of ownership at the effective rate of 1%. After the 5-year period, my student exercised the option and did so by obtaining the necessary funds by simply obtaining an owner-occupied loan. That is, by the way, a loan program specifically designed for owner-occupants. The loan was for $179,400, which was the total amount due the seller. $220,000 was the total option price, less the deposit of $3,600, less the additional consideration of $10,000 that was paid in the 4th year, and less the rent credit of $27,000, which was the $450 a month for 60 months. The property had appreciated. It appraised at $290,000, so the new loan was obtained for only 62% of the property's fair market value. And by the way, my student eventually sold this property a year later for $320,000, and you guessed it, has moved on to an even nicer home. Now let's take a look at how the buyer and seller fared over this five-year deal. The benefits to the buyer were the flexibility of the option to purchase any time within a four-year term, and you'll remember the option was additionally extended for one more year. Out of the total monthly rental payment of $900, $450 was credited toward the purchase. Thus, effectively, the cost of living was $450 per month. The initial down payment of $3,600 and the subsequent option extension of $10,000 were both credited directly against the purchase price. The advantage of additional time to purchase a home that my student otherwise might not have been able to afford. Based on appreciation of approximately 7% per year, my student enjoyed instant equity of more than $110,000. That was computed by taking the $290,000 fair market value of the property minus $179,000 balance of the option purchase price. Another advantage, less difficulty obtaining favorable loan terms with more than $110,000 in equity in the property and needing a mere 62% of the purchase price. Well, the benefits to the seller of this transaction are many as well. The seller received full asking price. The seller is relieved of all maintenance responsibility and costs associated with the property. The seller receives sufficient income to cover the property taxes, insurance, and the principal and interest payment on the existing mortgage, plus a monthly profit. The seller received a non-refundable deposit up front. Recall that the seller was extending a $450 per month rent credit to my student. $450 per month times 60 months is $27,000. And if my student failed to exercise the option, the seller would retain that money. In addition, the seller would retain the $13,600 in total option consideration that my student paid. During the lease period, the seller continues to benefit from the loan amortization, which really is being paid for by the buyer. The seller enjoys the deferment of taxes on the portion of money applied to the option price until the option is exercised or abandoned. The seller has the peace of mind to know that the property is under contract and being maintained by someone motivated to take good care of it, because they will soon own it, and that's an important one. While it may be difficult to find sellers who will accept such a favorable transaction, even if the terms are not as favorable, it could still have been an extremely good lease option deal. And there's an example in your manual that illustrates that very well. Next, I'm going to discuss sublease options. One way to make money using lease options is to enter into a lease option contract with a seller and a sublease option contract with a buyer. For example, a buyer who might not be able to qualify for conventional financing. This technique is referred to as a sandwich lease option. Here's an example of how that might work. Assume that you find a property that fits your investment profile and has a current fair market value of $180,000. It's been on the market and not sold for 6 months. The seller purchased the property 7 years ago for $127,000 with a down payment of $7,000 and acquired a 30-year mortgage loan at 8% interest on the remaining $120,000. His monthly mortgage loan payments, insurance, and real estate taxes are $882, $48, and $200 respectively, which results in a total monthly payment of $1,130. After some negotiation, you acquire control of the property by agreeing with the seller to a 4-year lease option contract under which you will pay $1,130 per month in rent. As an inducement to the seller to accept the $1,130 monthly rent option payment, you offer the seller a premium price of $185,000. You also reserve the right to sublease the property and offer a $500 promissory note as your consideration. Now, once you've gained control of the property, you find a tenant who is willing to enter into a sublease option contract on the property. You offer a 2-year term on the contract under which the tenant pays $4,500 in option consideration and $1,700 per month in rent, $100 of which is credited toward the purchase price of $200,000 at the end of the lease term. Under the terms of the contract, you gain a positive total monthly cash flow of $570. That's the $1,700 per month rent you're receiving minus the $1,130 rent you're paying. And you're going to be receiving that for 24 months, which amounts to a total of about $13,600 over the contract term. If the tenant exercises his option to purchase at the end of the sublease term, he pays $200,000 minus the $2,400 in credit he's accumulated over 2 years, remember $100 a month times 24 months, minus the $4,500 that he paid as option consideration to enter into the contract. As a result, his total purchase price is $193,100. That's $200,000 minus $2,400 minus $4,500. And if the fair market value of the home increases at 5% over the sublease term, its value at the end of the 2 years is $198,000, which results in equity of nearly $5,000 for the tenant when he becomes the new owner. If the tenant does not exercise the option to purchase, you still have 24 months to find another prospective tenant or buyer, and you might be able to make even more money on the property. The key to using this technique profitably and without risk is to secure a tenant, or I should say a subtenant, prior to making the original commitment for the lease option on the property. This example illustrates just one way to make money with lease options. You could also fulfill the obligation of the original lease option and buy the property to use as a rental property. Or you could sell the original option to another investor. Lease options with the right to sublease a large investment or commercial property. Lease option agreements are also useful in commercial purchases. The size and cost of many commercial properties place them beyond the reach of many investors who lack creativity. As a result, the sellers of large apartment buildings, strip malls, and warehouses find themselves having to list these properties on the market for prolonged periods of time, and in some cases, these properties are vacant and producing no income. The lease option with the right to sublease allows creative investors to take over commercial properties or large multifamily units for little or no money down. Through quality property management decisions, these properties can be subleased at a sizable profit, sold at a price substantially greater than the option price, or the option to purchase could be sold and assigned. The lease option buyer receives the additional benefit of managing the property before actually purchasing it. In this way, the buyer is given a real estate management test drive, so to speak, that's going to result in a much more educated purchase decision.